This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. And in about half an hour, we're going to have a pretty special breakfast grill, right? Who are you going to speak to, Chuang?
Well, it's going to be a blockbuster, right? Because being at the epicenter of this huge impasse in the State Assembly of Sabah, which will be a key state in the upcoming national elections, to also being at the forefront of this whole South China Sea territorial dispute between the Chinese and the Americans, to therefore also being potentially the next prime minister, because he's been seen as a potential candidate for a number of years now, and a nice foil to the whole Anwar Mahathir kind of like tripartite. And he was the first, a very prominent vice president in UMNO, and the first East Malaysian. If he becomes prime minister, he will be the first East Malaysian to do so. And what better time than now? So all these things will be brewing and being discussed in the upcoming grill.
So definitely stay tuned.
You've got to stay in the car.
Listen in at 8:05. Yeah. Right? You can't go into the office. You have to just sit there and listen to this. But meanwhile, looking at Philippines, because the Philippines President Duterte announced last Sunday that the country will go into another lockdown due to the severity of COVID-19 cases there. Now, Philippines has Southeast Asia's second highest number of COVID-19 infections, and the figures coming out from the country show that over 100,000 confirmed cases, and this is a figure that has surpassed China's total number of infections. Meanwhile, casualties have more than doubled to over 2,000 since the first lockdown was eased in June.
That's right. So this second lockdown, which went into effect last Tuesday, seized Metro Manila, nearby provinces, under what they call a modified enhanced community quarantine, expected to last until August 18th. Now, of course, they have a healthcare system which is overwhelmed, and this expected economic downturn that's going to be predicted to be the worst in at least 30 years.
Yeah, so to find out what's happening on the ground, we have Cleve Arguelles from the Department of Political and Social Change at the Australian National University. Thanks for speaking with us. Now, could you shed some light into why there's a second wave in Philippines when it was actually one of the first countries to go into a lockdown for what was a relatively long period?
Yes, thank you and good morning. I think first it's important to clarify that this isn't technically a second wave for the Philippines. What we're seeing in other countries is that after they have successfully flattened the curve for a brief period of time, is now they're facing a second wave. In the case of the Philippines, since the beginning of the pandemic this year, the growth in the number of confirmed cases has been consistent and in the past days even rapidly increasing. This is important to take note that the Philippines has yet to flatten the curve beginning this year. The recent upsurge in the confirmed COVID cases, now at 119,460, is still part of the original or initial wave. So, and yesterday, the Philippines just overtook Indonesia as the Southeast Asian country with the highest number of positive cases. And I think this recent upsurge that we're talking about can be attributed to the inadequate response by the government under President Rodrigo Duterte. Although one of the world's longest lockdown was imposed on the country beginning March this year, the other measures required to flatten the curve, like increased testing capacity, weren't really given much attention to. For instance, based on the latest data from the Oxford University on testing volumes in different countries, the Philippines is among the 30 countries in the world with the lowest testing rates, despite also having the most, also belonging to the top 30 countries with the most number of positive cases. So, as we've learned, countries which successfully flattened the curve didn't really only impose a lockdown, and not for too long, because it was combined with other appropriate measures needed. The lockdown would only work if this is combined with aggressive testing, tracing, and isolation, which, unfortunately, something that the Duterte government has failed to do since the beginning of this pandemic for the Philippines.
Cleve, this lockdown is going to force most businesses to shut down. That's going to further hurt the economy. What's the sentiment been like on the ground since this announcement was made?
You're right. Businesses and the entire Philippine economy is likely to take a hit again after the imposition of the new lockdown in the national capital region and neighboring provinces where much of the country's economic activity is really based. Just yesterday, actually, the government officially confirmed that the Philippine economy is in a recession beginning the second quarter of this year. And that period covers the lockdown the COVID lockdown period as well. The country's GDP shrunk 16.5% in the second quarter of the year, and this is for the first time in almost 30 years. Of course, there is an expectation, of course, that there will be a slump in economic activity worldwide because of the pandemic. But this decline in the Philippine GDP is, in fact, the worst among major ASEAN economies. And if you put this new data side by side with the unemployment data released in June, in which the unemployment rate peaked at 17.7%, also the highest for the Philippine history, you can really expect that we are likely to see a continuity in this trend. And as a result of that, the public sentiment is also, it's quite mixed, but also most of them are quite disappointed because of this newly imposed lockdown. So although as you might expect, others really understand the value of this new lockdown in terms of buying time for our medical frontliners and even for the government, some are understandably worried how it will negatively affect their already hit businesses and livelihoods. And I think it's important to note that even with this lockdown, many people don't really believe that the government will finally, you know, address or flatten the pandemic or flatten the curve. Because, as I've said, the other appropriate measures required aside from the lockdown is still missing from the government response.
And meanwhile, it seems that President Duterte is at odds with doctors and healthcare workers who are struggling to cope with this virus outbreak and have requested for urgent help to better contain the spread. What's the reason for Duterte's reluctance?
You're right about that. He is at odds with our medical frontliners. And I think it's an important context to share as well that he was actually accusing the medical associations, which called for this new lockdown, for this temporary break, because they feel overwhelmed that our hospital capacity is starting to break, that these medical associations are inciting or planning a revolution against him. And that Duterte claimed that he is actually ready to organize a counter-revolution against these healthcare workers and medical frontliners, when in fact they have been sacrificing so much to fight this pandemic, and even, you know, some of them unnecessarily because of the misguided response of the government. And I think the reluctance on the part of the president can really be traced to the refusal to listen to medical experts and frontliners. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the Duterte government's response has been really to securitize the pandemic or to treat it as a law and order problem rather than primarily as a medical problem. And I think for the president to treat the COVID-19 problem as a medical one is to lose monopoly control, to lose control of how it's going to be addressed. Only the police and the military currently has the third year's ears on the COVID-19 planning. For example, the interagency task force heading the government response are composed of people drawn primarily from the police and the military. They have effectively sidelined people from the health sector. If there are provinces like Cebu province, where there was an upsurge of cases last month, Duterte would send not medical teams, not even the health secretary, but a team headed by a military official to run things there. And he has given extensive powers and responsibilities to this police and military to impose strict measures of community quarantines. When some villages, for example, are under a strict lockdown, you will see not only men in uniform, but also sometimes military tanks and other military vehicles. And as you can see, this kind of securitized response is not present elsewhere, and it's not working, apparently, for the Philippines either.
Thank you very much for your time. That was Cleve Arguelles from the Department of Political and Social Change at the Australian National University, painting quite a dire picture of what's happening on the ground in Philippines. And what seems to be very odd, a president that seems to be heading against, going against the frontliners, the medical, doctors who are trying their very best to somewhat improve the situation and contain the COVID-19 virus.
Yeah, the similarities between Duterte and Donald Trump are there for all to see. You know, these kind of like populist strong-arm leaders. Donald Trump has been criticized heavily in America for how he handled the pandemic. And you can see the similarities between Duterte as well.
Isn't he like the same Trump of Asia?
Kind of. He was on his Harley Davidson going around shooting drug addicts, remember, a couple of years ago. He was trying to drain that swamp. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the economy, 16.5 contraction official in the second quarter. And of course, it's supposed to come back a little bit in the third quarter, down just 3% in terms of consensus forecast. But you have to imagine that number could be revised downwards quite easily.
Added to the whole issue, of course, is record high unemployment and steep declines in money sent home by Philippines. That has, of course, weighed heavily on private consumption, which drives two-thirds of that country's GDP. Exports, of course, suffering double-digit annual drops. So tough times pretty much for the Philippines and for the Filipino economy. Up next, we'll be speaking to... I was trying to find the words. Up next, we'll be speaking to Wong Chen, MP for Subang, on the newly tabled COVID-19 financing bill. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.